Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of September 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll also hear today from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. They'll update crop progress and conditions in their regions. Pay particular attention because there are some really interesting numbers, especially out of Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, speaking of numbers from Illinois, Gary Snutke will be here with revised crop budgets for this year and what you may or may not be able to make on the crop that's about to be harvested across the state. We'll hear all that during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the final quotes as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group on the grains floor. Nearby corn down 3 cents at $3.90 and a half. March at 4.01 and 3 quarters, finished three lower in the May. Down 2 and 3 quarters at 4.09. July contract 4.13 and a half, down 2 and a half in the corn pit in December of next year. The 4.11 settlement price down 3 and a quarter. Soy complex now, November beans up 4 and 3 quarters, $8.89 the settlement price. January at 8.92 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters, and the March at 8.93 and a half, 4 and a half higher. May futures 8.94 and 3 quarters, up 5 and a half cents. July up 6, 8.98 and 3 quarters, and the August settled up 5 and 3 quarters. Next year's November up 6 at $8.82 and a quarter. Bean meal futures up $4.30 at $3.18.60, and the bean oil down 46 cents at $26.47. Soft red winter wheat in the December contract down 6 and a half cents at $4.94 and 3 quarters on a settlement price for Tuesday afternoon. July there, the harvest month, down 7 at $5.11 and 3 quarters of a cent. The hard red Kansas City, December at $4.92 and a half, down 3 and 3 quarters. July of next year, down 3 and a quarter at $5.26 and a quarter. Live cattle futures finish the October are in their last trades now at $140.40, down $1.07 and a half cents. The October feeders are $2.22 and a half lower at $192.57 and a half, and the lean hogs in the October at $69.50 are at $2.67 and a half higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's a look at some of the outside market numbers. Ethanol futures in the October, 0.8 cents higher at $1.52 and 2 tenths. Crude oil for the day trading $44.64 a barrel, up 64 cents. Gasoline on the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $1.33 and a tenth. That's 2 and 7 tenths of a cent higher. Heating oil for the day down a penny at $1.50 and 2 tenths, and natural gas at $2.72 and 3 tenths. That's 3 and a half cents lower. Dow Jones Industrial Average 247 points higher, 16,627 is the trade. The dollar index at 95.785 is up 0.373. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,104 even, down $3.50. The weather forecast from the National Weather Service says this afternoon, sunny skies and 82. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. South winds at 10 to 14. They are gusting all the way to 21. Clear tonight at a low of 56. South-southeast wind at 6 to 10. And on Wednesday, sunny skies and 84 degrees. A south wind at 6 to 15, gusting to 21 in the area. Wednesday night, clear and a low of 60. Thursday, sunny skies and 85. And Thursday evening, a 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, and a low of 67. Friday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high of 84. Those showers will continue into Friday night. Then things will get to mostly cloudy over the nighttime hours. We'll drop to 63 degrees. And on Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 74.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 15th day of September. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago for the day. Thanks, Wayne, for being with us. I think I'd like to start in the oil seeds because for the second day in a row this week, we've managed to have some gains in the beans. They were up, in the November, 4¾ cents. That's got to be a pretty good sign.
Well, you know, it is, Todd, and there's three things that are going on. We talked about this morning. We talked about that they decreased the crop ratings 2%. We took some of the states that they thought were doing real good and, you know, knocked their good to excellent rating a little bit that way. We're continuing to see, ships coming in from China come down to load the boats, and the new crop beans aren't flowing or being sold as fast as they'd like to. And they're scrambling to find a little supply there. And, as we look at a year ago's dates compared to now, you know, we're way ahead of last year on our shipments as far as for the month of September. And that's also, like I said, that's the ships coming in. We need to load them out. And a lot of the early beans in, of course, that were harvested down in the Mid-South and like the Indiana, parts of Ohio and like that, those weren't as good. And, of course, they aren't filling as many contracts for those early beans. But yet we aren't near the premium for early beans as we were a year ago. You know, a year ago at this time we were clear out of beans and there was $1, $2, and $3 premiums above the boards paying for beans at this point in time. So, but a lot of the processors are keeping a lot of them at home and they aren't going down to the river.
I suppose it just points to the fundamentals, both what we will have left over from this year, which is expected to be around, 240 million bushels, rather 210 million bushels, and at the end of next year, 450 million bushels. Those are both fairly large numbers, the second one in particular.
The second one very much in particular. Of course, you know, we were started a lot higher number for what was supposed to be carried out from this last year at the beginning of the year. So, you know, if we can keep the demand up, maybe we can shrink that 450 down closer in that 200 bracket too by the end of the year.
What happened for the corn market in the day?
Corn market today, you know, we saw the selling. We did see as far as the basis level on barges for corn, they dropped back about 4 to 8 cents today for what they were bid yesterday. So we're seeing a little more corn movement. We're seeing a lot of corn yields starting to come in from different areas. And I think that as we get in Illinois out of the Indiana area here, we're seeming to see some much better yields than what maybe a lot of guys thought they might be. In Hancock County, 258 bushel corn out of the field, Bureau County 216, Sangamon County 215, Mason County 165, Iowa 193, and Washington County. So we're seeing some numbers up closer to that number. Now, you know, maybe these aren't the bad fields yet, but we are getting a little bit of hope that the corn might not be quite as bad as what some of us might be expecting.
It was Mason County. Was that on sand? Is that right? Probably irrigated, maybe?
Oh, let's take a quick here. Mason County,
it doesn't
tell me. It's just one of the things. So
yeah.
I'm going to say that it has a good chance of being on sand that was here.
Yeah,
here.
It's more sandy soil in that county towards the center
sure
part
is
of the state. So that number was a little lower than the rest, but just checking whether how out of the ordinary it was. And it doesn't sound maybe like it's too out of the ordinary, but there's some awful good soils there as well. All right, so bottom line then, what do producers need to think about for the rest of this week other than just being safe?
Well, I think we're going to see the FSA number dump in the morning. That's always a little bit lower than the NAS number, or always has been in the past, I should say. And a lot of times we'll get a little bit of pop out of that. We had two advisory firms that we watched very closely. One of them had orders in to sell today or talking about selling at higher numbers. Another one had stops to get out about those same numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a conflict of what we're thinking, but we think if you're behind on sales, we pop above $4 and over $9 on the December-November contract, while we'd be selling a little bit.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Check out all of the agricultural programming at willag.org. That's willag.org for the latest marketing and weather conditions across the Midwest and all the growing regions around the planet. Hear what the numbers look like yesterday as released from the United States Department of Agriculture for the latest crop progress figures nationwide of the 18 reporting states for corn. USDA now says that as of the 13th day of September, 87% of the crop has dented. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 86%, 35% of the corn crop in the nation. The United States, that is, has matured. The five-year rolling average is 40%, and 5% of the crop has now been harvested. Five-year average is 9% for corn. Soybeans dropping leaves have been set at 35% by USDA. The rolling five-year average is 31%. The condition of that crop is 46% good, 14% excellent. That compares to 49% and 14% the previous week and 53% and 19% on the previous year. Now here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana with updates from their regions.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 13th, 2015. Activities for the week included seed corn harvest, chopping silage, cutting hay, and isolated reports of corn for grain and soybean harvest. There were continued reports of disease pressure on corn. The past reporting week began with very warm and humid weather and frequent rainfall. Rain fell nearly statewide from Sunday evening into Monday morning, with very heavy rainfall over portions of central and south central Iowa. This was followed by another statewide rain event from Monday night into Tuesday morning, with the heaviest rains concentrated over southwestern areas of the state. Dry and much cooler weather prevailed over the weekend. Rain totals for the week varied from 0.11 inches at Hampton to 6.35 inches at Bagley and 5.53 inches at Lake Rathbun. The statewide average precipitation was 1.38 inches, while normal for the week is 0.82 inches. Daytime highs climbed into the 80s in many areas from Monday through Thursday, with Burlington, Donelson, and Muscatine reporting the highest temperatures with 89 degree readings on Monday. Meanwhile, temperatures fell to 37 degrees at Sheldon on Saturday morning and 38 degrees at Elkader in Manchester on Sunday morning. Very cool late week weather just barely canceled out the very warm start to the week, with temperatures for the week as a whole averaging 0.4 degrees below normal. 88% of the corn crop was in the dense stage or beyond, with 26% mature, 4 days ahead of last year, about 1 week behind the five-year average. Corn condition rated 80% good to excellent. 62% of the soybeans were starting to turn color or beyond, while 18% of soybeans were dropping leaves, 3 days ahead of 2014, but 2 days behind normal. Soybean condition rated 75% good to excellent. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rain came through Illinois last week, slowing corn harvest and increasing soil moisture. The state average rainfall was 1.59 inches, 8-tenths of an inch above normal for the week. Temperatures were just slightly below normal. 61% of corn acres have reached maturity compared to 34% 1 year ago and 53% for the five-year average. 6% of acres have been harvested compared to 2% last year and 12% normally. The condition of the corn crop is unchanged from last week. 15% of acres are rated very poor to poor, 30% are fair, and 55% are in good to excellent condition. For soybeans, 62% of acres are turning color compared to 54% last year and 58% normally. 32% of soybean acres are dropping leaves compared to 18% 1 year ago and 25% normally. The condition of the crop is unchanged from last week at 17% very poor to poor, 30% fair, and 53% good to excellent. In other crops, 84% of sorghum acres are turning color and 36% are mature. 90% of the third cutting of alfalfa hay is now complete. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Farmers in the western half of Minnesota reported harvesting early soybeans during the 5.5 days suitable for field work during the week. With most of Minnesota's corn acreage in or beyond the dent stage, 19% of the acreage was mature. That's 8 days ahead of last year, but 2 days behind the five-year average. Corn condition rated 88% good to excellent. Corn harvested for silage was 37% complete. That's almost 1 week behind normal. 42% of the soybean acreage was dropping leaves or beyond. That's 9 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition rated 77% good to excellent. That's down slightly from the previous week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Scattered rain showers provided some relief to dry fields, but many farmers continued to irrigate this week to help finish the maturing crops. Average temperatures ranged from 67 to 74 degrees, and from 1 degree to 7 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.05 to 1.31 inches, with a statewide average of 0.71 inches. Soybeans dropping leaves was 40% complete this week, compared to 31% last year and 41% five-year average. Corn dented was 79% complete, compared to 77% last year and 84% five-year average. Corn was 34% mature this week, compared to 27% last year and 40% five-year average. Seed corn harvest has begun, with strong variability in moisture content across the state, partially due to the location of the fields and the dry spell. Disease pressure from southern rust, gray leaf spot, and Diplodia ear rot remains high in late-planted corn, but the earlier crop seems to be in better condition. Silage harvest is wrapping up in some areas. Soybeans continued to mature and drop leaves quickly, nearly 10% faster than last year. Concerns of poor pod development remains high as farmers begin to harvest soybeans, which have been drier than usual thus far. While the recent rains were beneficial for late-maturing beans, it had little effect on plants dropping leaves. Pumpkin harvest has begun. Other activities include preparing and repairing harvest equipment, signing up for farm programs, hauling grain, and mowing roadsides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota for their weekly crop progress updates. Speaking of updates, Gary Schnittke, Farm Business, Farm Management, and Agricultural Specialist at the U of I, has revised the 2015, that's this year's crop budgets. He was in my studio a bit earlier in the day. I asked him to go through the gross revenues and the yields.
Yeah, so we revised our revenue estimates, and this would be for Central Illinois high productivity land, but we did this for all regions of the state. Our revised yields were based on what the state did, and we're now using 200 bushels for corn after soybeans in Central Illinois high productivity land, and that's based on corn being, for the state corn yield being one bushel above trend. So what we did was we said if the state yield was one bushel above trend, we were likely to be one bushel above trend in Central Illinois. That took us to 200 bushels per acre. Did the same thing for soybeans. The soybeans, NAS is saying that the soybean yield in Illinois is 54 bushels, which is 4 bushels above trend. So we did the same adjustment, and that takes our soybean yields in Central Illinois up to $61 bushels per acre. We're using prices right now of $3.90 for corn, $8.90 for soybeans, which the $3.90 for corn is in the higher end of the WASDE range currently. But if you look at forward bids, we could realistically get $3.90 right now, and $8.90 is the price we're using for soybeans, which is actually below the midpoint. But if you look at forward bids, that's where that $8.90 is at.
And this gives you a crop revenue of what per acre?
So that gives us crop revenue of $780 for corn after soybeans, $543 for soybeans after corn. We included $40 of acre pay, or excuse me, ARC payments this year, which is a blended over corn and soybean acres. That $40 would not be received this fall, but would be received in 2016, in the fall of 2016. And obviously we're a ways away from knowing that exactly, because we need to know both 2015 yields and market year average prices, which are just beginning right now.
I'm going to put you on pause just for a moment in the middle of budgets, because farmers are probably at this point thinking, hey, wait a second, do I get an ARC County payment for corn or soybeans for the 2014 crop? And the answer is?
For Central Illinois, no, most likely. So if you're in Central Illinois, those 2014 ARC payments are zero, most likely, and so you will not be receiving anything this fall.
Let's move back again to the 2015 crop budgets, not last year's, but the current year, the one that's being harvested at this point. We have gross revenues then, once we put the ARC County payment of $40 in, and you have crop insurance proceeds for both
corn and soybeans, about $20, and we're expecting some crop insurance payments this year. That's going to vary. It will, if we're looking at where harvest prices are relative to projected prices, there will have to be yield losses, or yields will have to be below guaranteed yields before those payments happen.
Gross revenues then are $840 for corn, $603 for soybeans. This on highly productive Central Illinois farmland. What are the direct costs?
So our direct cost, we come in there at $387 an acre, and that would include fertilizer, pesticide, seed, drying, storage, and crop insurance, and those we didn't revise. We also have power cost of $136 and overhead of $62 to come up with non-line cost of $585. If you subtract those non-line costs from gross revenue, we have $255 of operator and land return for corn after soybeans in Central Illinois.
And for soybeans after corn, when you bottom line it?
$233 per acre, and that includes a non-line cost of $370 an acre.
Anything that we need to be clear about on those two numbers?
So that $255 for corn, $233 in soybeans, operator and land return is what's left to split between the landlord and tenant. Most cash rents are above that, so we're putting the farmer in a loss situation. And also those operator and land returns are low relative to current year's return, or what we've had recently. The corn return would be the last time we had a lower return was in 2009, and you have to go back further for soybeans. You would have to go back to 2006. So low returns.
Low returns. And these are below, if they're cash renting, below what they would be able to cash rent for.
Most cash rents for Central Illinois land would be above $255 an acre, probably closer to $280, $290, and obviously we have some much higher than that.
Some discussions to have with the landlords in that case for the coming year.
That's correct. And again, if anything, we would probably be looking at lower revenues in 2016 rather than what we're currently projecting for 2015.
Gary Schnitke, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You can find Gary Schnitke's article on the Farm Doc Daily website later today. Back in 2 minutes.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Cream de Menthe Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1879, Frank Luntz was born, and American entomologist, museum curator, educator, conservationist, and writer. He was one of the leading U.S. entomologists of the first half of the 20th century. He taught that insects were an integral part of the environment. In 1898, William S. Burroughs died. An American inventor, Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. In 1904, the first balloon used for meteorological research in the U.S. was released in St. Louis, Missouri. The balloon carried instruments that would return to Earth when the balloon burst. Since the first launch, literally millions of weather balloons have been launched by the National Weather Service and its predecessor organizations. And in 1965, the Green Acres TV show debuted. Running until 1971, the show featured the yearnings of want-to-be farmer attorney Oliver Wendell Douglas, who purchased Sight Unseen, a 160-acre farm in Hooterville. By the way, one of our favorite episodes has Douglas's wife Lisa telling the folks of Hooterville that her husband was a ruthless cow killer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather is here. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We've had good weather for the last week or so. Really beautiful. I think we're going to have a little rainfall maybe over the weekend, but farmers really want to know whether they'll be able to get into the field across the whole of the Corn Belt to get a good start off to their harvest season. What do you think?
There will definitely be a chance for some showers and thunderstorms moving into especially the western and northwestern Corn Belt as we get into Friday and Saturday. Pretty good little front's going to come through. It looks like Iowa, eastern Nebraska, the Dakotas, Minnesota, and then into Wisconsin and Illinois and Michigan as we get into the day Saturday. It's going to be a quick-moving front. So we're expecting rainfall amounts to not be excessive, and it's going to be an area in the western Corn Belt that has the best chance of the heavier rains. So while it may cause a few delays, we don't expect them to last long, and we're right back to a very pleasant ridge of high pressure in the Corn Belt Midwest by Sunday, and that should extend through well into the early portions of next week.
Excellent opportunity for producers to begin the harvest season throughout the Midwest. We need to turn our attention to the Southern Hemisphere. While they're in the middle of a change of seasons as well, it's been pretty cold in parts of that area of the world.
It really has. And the Southern Hemisphere, you're not hearing about this on the news at all, but since the beginning of the satellite record, the aerial extent of ice in the Southern Hemisphere is the highest it's ever been since the late 70s. And as they go into their spring season, as they're changing seasons, there's just a lot of cold air down at that South Pole region that's been able to make some pretty big pushes northward into Australia a couple of weeks ago and what we've seen here in South America over the past week.
Enough ice, you think, that it will have an impact throughout the growing seasons?
Well, I think as we go here, probably next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll start to see the impacts of that fade away as their jet stream weakens and they get into their summer pattern, but they'll still be susceptible for probably another 5 to 10 days for these cold shots.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. If you'd like to hear Don's comments about the weather or any of the other meteorologists you hear during the week, you can always do that on our website at willag.org. Over on the right-hand side of the page, depending on how you have it laid out, it may be at the bottom of the page, you'll see some menu items, and there are two weather-related items there. You can hear the morning weather from Drew Lerner each business day of the year, and the afternoon weather from the meteorologist that you hear during the Closing Market Report, also each business day of the year, posted right there at the website. It's at willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a great afternoon and a safe start to the harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.